When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, or in Dublin, Ireland, or wherever you may be in Stellar's Nation today. We got a lot to get to. Kaboom is up and at him. He was on and ready to go like a full 30 seconds before today's show. So clearly he learned his lesson from napping before the last episode.
Good morning. Funny you should say that, since you just said, boy, you're up at 2 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, why?
Got to take a piss,
you know. So you decided to tweet.
What was that movie called?
Good reference. Thanks.
No, the movie from Rockstar, is that what it's called?
The one with Mark Wahlberg
and Matt's goes, I gotta go get myself a piss. I think I'll get myself a piss.
Oh man, you know, Matt's, here we right? go. Here we go. He's up and at him. We're all ready to go. The Steelers play the Vikings this weekend, and that's just one of like a million things going on this weekend. Obviously, for Steeler fans, which is the primary reason a lot of you are here, that's the big reason you're here. But there's a million other things going on. I mean, if you're just a sports fan in general, I know Kaboom got up super early to watch the start of the Ryder Cup this morning. That's why he was up at 2 a.m. He was so excited he couldn't sleep. There's that. There's huge college football games, including the White Hot up at Penn State. There's all kinds of huge baseball games if your team is still in it, which last I checked, Pirates were out of it a month ago. There's a lot going on, is my point. The Penguins are playing a preseason game that's sold out tomorrow night because the Flower is back. People are lining up outside the facility just to watch them practice today. It's a big weekend in sports, especially around Pittsburgh. So thanks for joining us here today. Don't forget, if you subscribe on YouTube, if you're one of the first 3,018 subscribers and we're only about 225 away from that, you got a chance to win your choice, an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. Thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. They're out at South Hills Village. They had that Flurry signing last Saturday that had people lined up all over the mall. So they've been hooking us up with great stuff for yins, and we'll continue to give it away as long as you guys are subscribing and following along to the show. You support us, we support you. It's a nice little scratch your back, I'll scratch my, no, scratch your whatever. It's a good thing for both of us. Kaboom.
Yeah, you say that I'm speaking gibberish.
Whole hell of a lot more than you do.
You just spoke pal? 5 minutes. You just spoke 5 minutes worth of gibberish.
It was not gibberish. I told people we're going to hook them up with something good.
And my back, your back. Best part.
Scratch my back with a hacksaw.
Best part about that whole thing is when you said the Pirates were out of it a month ago.
Actually, I want to play a clip later. We could do a two-hour show today if we really wanted to. There's so much going on. I want to play a clip for you later. I know how you'll react to it, but it.
Yeah, I don't care about 1.97 ERA.
Just cool your
jet. I'm just guessing that's what you're talking about.
No, it's a clip that I saw yesterday on Pat's show, actually, all right, that I want to play for you that I don't know. I know you're cold and dead inside when it comes to the Pirates. But it
rightfully so. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know,
well, don't spoil it then.
I'm going to spoil one thing. I'll spoil one thing. All they need is three bats. Is that it?
Anyway, greater point that was made, we'll let people hear later from the great Jeff Passan, who was on the McAfee show yesterday. But with the Steelers in Ireland, if you're not in Dublin, and I'm sure people are lined up in pubs watching this right now over in Ireland, good afternoon to you. It's 3:30 in the afternoon over there.
Top of the morning.
Top of the afternoon. But if you're not going to be there, why not be at the next best place, which is the watch party going down Sunday out at Pittsburgh Brewing. It's going to be a big deal all day long, starting at like 7 a.m. Matt Light's going to be there. Chris Higby, formerly of the Poverty Neck Hillbillies, is going to be playing a little show at halftime. We'll be doing a special post-game edition of the show from there as well. It's all ready to go. It's going to be a big blast, and we can't wait to see you out there. So come join us at Pittsburgh Brewing this Sunday. Kaboom naturally will be late, but he will be there.
I'm always late.
Why?
You know, people are probably saying, why aren't you in Ireland? You know, my response was to Tomlin yesterday.
What?
He goes, when are you heading over? I said, too old. And he says, I wish I could coach it from here.
Like Stefanski in the wild card game a couple years ago. That worked out well for him.
Yeah, too old, man. I don't think I can handle it.
I mean, everything I've seen, it sounds like the trip went well. We'll hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the travel in just a little bit. But it is, I sat down and watched last night because the one thing I had not yet immersed myself in this week was just has nothing to do with the football itself, really, or the game that's going to be played on Sunday. It is something that is the greater reason for why the Steelers are actually over in Ireland playing a regular season game.
Not only a winner in Pittsburgh, he was the champion for Ireland. In many ways, bringing an NFL regular season game to Dublin is a celebration of his legacy.
Dan Rooney. And look, it's more than just like he was the ambassador to Ireland. If you go back, you can hear my dog barking in the background, right? Is that why you're laughing?
That's exactly why. You know, you're trying to be all serious.
I'm not trying to be serious.
Somber and the old mutt barking.
I'm not even trying to be somber either.
You're trying to be really...
fucking dog.
There goes that, right?
Stop!
Yeah, I'm sure that works.
Yeah, that always works when you just yell at the dog to shut up. It's impossible. It's impossible.
You know, Sir Rooney was a great guy. Woof, 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 woof.
Woof, woof, woof. Bark, bark, bark. Yeah. Jesus. Try to do something nice. Try to remind younger people the importance of this game to the Rooney legacy and the importance of the Steelers' relationship with the country of Ireland, and your dog doesn't shut the hell up.
Go.
But that is a big part of this. Like, I went back and watched the Steelers produced like a little 30-minute documentary about Dan Rooney's impact in Ireland, not just as the ambassador, but with the Ireland funds that he created, all the money they raised over the years. He even played a role in the peace process, although he would probably, if he were still around to be asked about that, sort of downplay his role. But he was a huge part of Ireland and the connection between Pittsburgh and Ireland. And that's a big reason this game is happening this weekend, Mark.
Yeah, that's probably the only reason why that game is happening this week is because of that. I mean, it's something that Art Rooney really wanted to bring over there just because, as what you said, just what the country meant to his father. So, you know, I always thought that they would go to Mexico first, but I was quickly reminded of, you know, Ireland is first on the docket. So, plus, you go over there and you see what's going on over there, and it's just a pure love of the organization. That just doesn't come because of, you know.
Well, it's not because of your typical, you know, the typical.
I like football. Typical. Yeah, it's because a lot of it has to do with because of what Art Rooney meant to the organization, to the area, the region.
Yeah, the Steelers have a large following everywhere, nationally and internationally. But a large part of why it exists the way it does in Ireland is because of Dan Rooney's role in helping that country through the troubles, through the basically the rebuilding of Dublin, which was a disaster in the late 70s. And he really is, he had a great amount of cultural impact, not just via football, but via being himself. He was a good man. And a lot of people in Ireland love the Steelers for that reason as much as anything else.
Yeah, you know, every time I saw him, there are certain people that you call by their name. Mm-hmm. I could never bring myself to calling him, "What's up, Dan?"
No.
It was always Mr. Rooney.
Yeah. Always.
Now, Art, I'll call Art Art, but Dan is always was always Mr. Rooney. How you doing, Mr. Rooney?
Yeah, and what was interesting is the few times I interacted with him, because I obviously haven't been around the facility as much as you over the last 20 years, but the few times I interacted with him, like, he's one of those reverential figures. I joke all the time about, like, there's few people in sports that I still get kind of, like, awestruck or starstruck around. Like, Joe Green is one of them. Mario Lemieux is one of them. They're the kind of people that walk by and I don't even know what the hell to say. Like, what am I going to say to those people? Mr. Rooney was so approachable that you didn't have to think about what you were going to say to him. He would come up to you and talk to you and be like, "Hey, how are you? How's everything?" He'd be like, "You're Dan frickin' Rooney. You don't even have to give me the time of day."
Yeah, I'll never forget one of his last training camps at St. Vincent College. And that's when we were in the dorm rooms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stinking slovenly media, yeah, whatever media were there, and I went into the bathroom. If you know, if you see a lot of men in the bathroom, people in the bathroom, they tend to make a mess out of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I gotta take a pee before I go down. I opened up the door. There's Mr. Rooney, basically on all fours, picking up trash off the ground that people threw there.
Wow.
I'm like, this is Dan freaking Rooney.
Did you tell him to stop and then pick up where he left off?
Picking up trash for people that he's welcome into his organization and into his family. I'm like, if Dan Rooney can pick up the trash, I can pick up the trash.
Exactly, exactly. So don't forget that this weekend while you're hanging out, crushing beers at 9 a.m., kegs and eggs and all that, and watching the game and getting pissed off about blown coverages or incomplete passes, that the reason this game is happening in the first place and the reason the Steelers have as large an impact internationally, especially in Ireland as they do, is because of Mr. Rooney. We got to thank Southwest Greens for supporting the show. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. You want the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. No mowing, like I said, no watering, no fertilizing, none of that stuff. Looks and acts like real grass, even though it's artificial, because it's the best around and they got the best teams installing it anywhere. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Check them out. Tell them that Kabali and Mac sent you. We appreciate their support of the program. So the watch party Sunday morning at Pittsburgh Brewing. Don't forget the whole Rooney impact on this thing. And oh, by the way, there's actual football to talk about as well. And one of the things that's still being talked about this week, even though we thought he may have improved ever so slightly in week two, may have taken a step back in week three, is the offensive line work, in particular left tackle Broderick Jones. Ben Roethlisberger was even talking about it earlier this week.
Broderick Jones is standing completely upright, and the guy basically runs right through him. It's actually the play we laughed about when his guy hit Aaron as soon as he threw it, and Broderick ran by. Remember, yanked his shoulder out of place? That play, if you go back and watch it, because I went back and watched two plays specifically to watch the line play. Broderick he's so upright, and you can't stand upright as a tackle. You've got to get low because guys are just going to get underneath you. James Harrison, what do you talk about? Leverage. You get a guy like if James Harrison was going against Broderick Jones, he'd have 15 sacks a game. I'm telling you, the low leverage he's going to get around Broderick has to be better in protecting.
So is he going to get better, and was it as bad in week three as it was in week one?
I don't think it was bad as week three than it was in week one. Week one was you know, very obviously that he had some issues going on. There was a handful of plays. I think Ben was blowing that out of proportion just a little bit there. I'm not saying he played extremely well or anything like that, but I don't think it's anywhere near to what he played on week one. And, I, you know, here, you take that almost for what it's worth, because Ben's always going to defend the quarterback. Always going to defend the quarterback. So, he does have a point, though. I mean, first of all, you got a guy who's 6'7", who plays high, and you can't really compare him to a guy like, you know, James Harrison, because Harrison was a freak. There's not too many people who can get leverage like that, but I understand what he's talking about. But he wasn't the only guy that struggled on that offensive line as well. But, I mean, Broderick has to get better. There's no doubt about that, but there's no options to get better other than him just putting in the work and getting better. So you just have to deal with it right now. You have to get better. You can't replace anybody is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, so here's my question then. If you can't replace anybody, understood, it comes down to coaching then, right? And I saw Trey Essex talk about it earlier in the week about the offensive line and some sloppiness. Like, he gave an example about the first play of the game and how Mason McCormick was the only one in a three-point stance and everyone else was two-point. And that's a reflection on coaching.
I think that might be a reflection more on scheme and what they want to do than coaching. I think that's what they did that a lot 2 years ago before they decided to say, okay, maybe we should all go to 3-point stands rather than two. A lot of times that's just preference with some of those guys as well. Now, can you make that switch? Say, hey, this is what we're doing? Sure. But I don't think it's because of sloppiness.
So is Pat Meyer then, I guess, that's the next logical question, getting the job done? And we've talked about how this is a young offensive line over and over again, and they need to gel. Four guys in their third year or earlier, and other than Sayamalu, obviously, who's supposed to be the veteran glue, and we're not maybe seeing the progress from Broderick Jones, Fautanu maybe. I don't think there's been a lot of problems with Frazier and McCormick, but still – this line is not coming together the way we expect it would, or is it just too early in the season to put it on?
I think it might be a little bit too early, because I did talk to McCormick the other day, and he said, you know what, I even talking to a guy like Fautanu, and he's like, man, it's just taking me a little bit of time just to get my legs underneath me, because I didn't play hardly at all last year. So I would imagine that's his issue right now. If there is an issue, is he just has to get acclimated to what they want to do. And how, you know, the speed of the game and everything like that. Now, there's no really excuse for Broderick. I mean, other than I wouldn't even say switching from right to left is an excuse. That's the guy where you have the issue with, that you need to somehow figure him out. I think the other ones are fine, especially when coaching, when you're talking about coaching wise. I just don't know how you coach a guy who's, you know, who has issues. I mean, I guess that's your job.
Yeah.
But if you're doing well coaching four out of the five, and isn't it sometimes just the person and not the coach?
Maybe. And if that's the case, then that means Broderick Jones was wildly overdrafted, right? He's just not a first round talent. And certainly not a guy they should have moved up, what was it, five picks to get. I mean, so it comes back to the assessment of the player going into the draft and why you spent the draft capital on him that you did.
Yeah, I'm just
with the dog again. Trying to do a show.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Brian
Trying Garrett. To work down here.
I'm just looking at Brian Garrett's comment when Richie Walsh travels with the team. Crowley got to go with the station that was what sponsored, and the other guy is the baseball writer now. So,
well, Richie went so he could admire the grass, which I
saw. He goes. He's there. The they're what do you call that? The KDK is the
flagship.
Flagship. So they go for, they just go for free, and they get to fly the old team flight. I think Crowley was sponsored somehow, wasn't he?
I think something so. Like that. I don't know.
And the other guy, like the other guy, like I said, is the baseball writer as a Monday. So I just wanted to address that.
Okay, it's been addressed. And you didn't want to sit on the flight.
The thing is I could have went. But I tapped out. I'm like, I'm too old for this shit. Now, if this was like 2000, you know, the year 2000, I'd have been the first one there. I'm just got a little, it doesn't appeal to me anymore.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, you fly over Friday, you go there Saturday, you fly back Monday. I mean, it's just, I don't think the bag was good enough for the buck for me.
All right. I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen you over there, maybe trying a pint of Guinness or two. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I had the freaking, you call that, the old Pepto-Bismol last night, so that doesn't help.
You're getting old, man. You wonder why I get worried when you show
up. You wonder what I was doing at 2 o'clock grabbing the old Pepto.
Hitting up the dude wipes in the middle of the night. Speaking of Guinness.
The stomach was not agreeing with me last night.
Speaking of Guinness, one guy that definitely appreciates it, he talked about it earlier this morning, but did not appreciate the travel arrangements, Aaron Rodgers.
You know, it is what it is. But if the schedule had been a little different, if I could have chosen it, maybe we get over on Monday. Tuesday is a day off, get to get out, see some things. It's a beautiful country, it seems like, from pictures. And I'm a historian, so I know kind of the history geopolitically in the area. I'm a huge fan of Guinness. I don't really drink beer, but if I do, I drink Guinness. That's not a bullshit line that I'm telling you guys. That's the truth.
So Rodgers appreciates the Guinness,
Wait a second here. What about the nectar of the gods?
Look, I'm not saying it's a different beast. It's a different animal. The nectar of the gods. I see light. Iron City, especially your mangoes that you may choose to have on a warm Sunday morning at the watch party with us, are still top of the line. You can enjoy other stuff occasionally.
You
don't like Guinness, do you?
No, I'm just talking about the travel arrangements. First of all, not to say anything negative about Aaron, but I think he can go to Ireland anytime he wants to see the countryside and the geopolitical aspect of of the country. You know, he might have a lot of time on his hands come next year. Isn't this a business trip? But, you know, I can't get a straight answer of why they went out Friday instead of Monday. I heard both things, and I don't know what's true. I don't think what you think is true is true.
Well, that's so what I don't know. There's been some back and forth on this now. There's what Jerry Dulac wrote earlier in the week, which is the league mandated that the teams arrive on Thursday or later, Friday morning, I guess. And now it's being pushed back against by the league saying, no, teams can go whenever they want to go. So I don't know.
We were told both. So I don't know.
You would think, given the way they kind of walked through the last time they were overseas. I know that's over 10 years ago, but that they would have learned from something from that scheduling and tried to get over there earlier in the week to adjust more fully to things other than just changing practice from 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, as of earlier in this whole thing, when did it come out? April? They were going over there?
Mm-hmm.
We were under the impression that they were going Monday/Tuesday. What's happened from that point to now is anybody's guess. Somebody's trying to cover somebody's butt. And I just don't know who's covering whose butt.
I love the fact that immediately everyone in the comments starts accusing someone of being cheap. you've got Rick calling Goodell cheap. You've got our guy, Brian Garrett, Ponies Burner, calling Rooney cheap. Everybody's all over it with this. Somebody was cheap, I guess. I mean, the NFL's got a gajillion dollars. I think if they wanted to really make a big week out of it, they could have made a bigger week out of it for all of these international games if they get the teams overseas.
Yeah, a couple days early. Look, the Vikings are staying, right?
Yeah, the Vikings are staying to play the Browns in London next week.
So. Yeah, that makes sense, though. I don't know. Some people have different theories of what they like to do. Some people just like to go over, you know, day or two of the game, and some people don't. I guess it's a preference, but I don't know if this was a preference or not. And another thing is, I don't know who has to pay for, you know, cheap Rooney, cheap Goodell. Obviously, somebody has to pay for it. But I'm not 100% sure that cheap Rooney has to pay for this. I don't know. But I just know early when they brought it up, when they announced that it was going to Ireland, that it was going to be earlier in the week. And that somehow changed. And under some of the talk to some of the players, they thought they were going to go over earlier too. What happened? Don't know. But it's good fodder if they win and better fodder if they lose.
I guess. Nibs, the Vikings arrived in Ireland in like 900 BC, I think it was. They emigrated over. Maybe it was AD. I don't know. I'm just making that up totally off the cuff, trying to make a Viking.
So you're not very geopolitical.
I'm not very geopolitical. No, the Vikings got over there this morning as well, I think. So there's no advantage.
Maybe it's cheap. I thought that was the point. I thought that was the point of this now, that nobody was supposed to have. That's another thing I heard. They had them go over at the same time because they didn't want anybody having an advantage.
But theoretically, won't the Vikings have an advantage over the Browns if the Browns don't end up in London?
Maybe that's just
on like Monday.
Maybe it just makes sense. You don't want them to come back. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Nothing makes sense. I'm sure it does make sense when it's laid out, but right now it just doesn't make sense.
Makes sense if you want to get your home updated. You want to get the walls taken care of, fresh coat of paint, maybe get the drywall fixed in some spots if you got rambunctious kids who've dinged things up. Exterior painting as well of your home, commercial and industrial, all of it taken care of by our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting. We appreciate them supporting the show. They came on over to Kaboom's house last week, I think it was.
Not yet. The color consultation, but I don't pay attention. So whatever the wife has actually talked to the owner's wife, I want to say. I don't know who she talks to.
I have no idea what's going on.
I stay out of it. But all I know is they've been in contact numerous times, which is a sign of a good business.
It is. Great customer service. They've been doing it for 4 decades. Family-owned business. Higgins Professional Painting. They'll get the job done for yins as well. Regardless of where you live in the Pittsburgh area, you want a free estimate, get in touch. They'll come out. They'll do the color consultation and everything, just like they did with Mrs. Kaboom. Get in touch with them. HigginsProfessional.com or 412-344-0480. Like I said, we appreciate them supporting the show as well here on Kabali.
Somebody already reached out, Mac, and said, hey, man, you got to tell me about this Higgins place. I need some work done. I said, perfecto.
Perfecto. If it was like it, that, too? Like you were pulling food from your teeth?
No, I was actually texting, so I don't think you could do that on a text.
Oh, you were responding to someone's texts. Imagine that.
Yeah, it's, you know, sorry if I had to take a nap. Yeah. Imagine, you know, we've went over this numerous times about my lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how long it would take me to recover from the trip from Ireland.
Jesus, we'd never hear the end of it. Would take until February.
It might. It took me like 2 days to recover from Boston. From Boston.
Yeah, you tried arguing jet lag from Boston. It's the same thing.
There is jet lag.
There's no jet lag when you stay in the same time zone.
I got jet lag.
Okay. Good for you, bud. So there is actual football, like I said, to be discussed. We heard what Ben Roethlisberger had to say about Broderick Jones. That's not Ben Roethlisberger or Broderick Jones. That's Aaron Rodgers. Let's get him the heck out of the way, Aaron. We already heard about your love of Guinness. What about the other side of the ball? In particular, they've dealt with injuries. Sounds like there's a good chance Joey Porter Jr. and Deshaun Elliott will be back for Sunday's game. And Mike Tomlin was asked about the effect those absences have had on what the secondary's been doing.
Are there things you've been holding back because of these injuries?
Certainly. But it's not just the injuries. You know, if you're coaching and you're seeing around corners, you know, certainly one injury doesn't get you off your game, and two, better not. But it's the injuries coupled with the fact that, you know, the players themselves are new in general. As I mentioned last week, man, all four of the secondary guys in that second ball game for us were new to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so we got some new people. We got some attrition. And certainly you're doing what's appropriate when you take the game schematically to those that are playing. But I imagine the more we play, the more stadiums we step into, the less that discussion is significant, the more we're going to be able to expand our menu and do more things, and they be able to communicate with great fluidity and understand how we go about our business.
An expanding menu.
Well, I don't understand. Did he mess that up? One shouldn't take us off our game. Two, better not. Wait, shouldn't it be two would take you off the game and one shouldn't?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I also, I don't know. I'm so tired of hearing about communication between whoever's in the secondary and all that stuff. I mean, how many years have we been talking about that? I do think it's a good thing, particularly when you're going up against Jefferson and Addison, that you have Porter back. You get Elliott back, hopefully. If both of those guys are available, you got more pieces to use at safety, because I think Peppers should play as much, maybe not as much as he did last week if Elliott is back, but more so than Thornhill or Clark. I feel a little bit better maybe about the secondary, even if it's against this receiving core, if they get both of those guys back.
Oh, how can't you? I mean, those are starting capable players. I mean, Deshaun Elliott, he showed what he could do last year. So being able to get him back, and then you throw in a guy like Joey Porter Jr., and he gives you so many more options. And not only that, is then now you have guys like Peppers, guys like Echols, who you now have faith in too. If you're not going to use them now, at least you could be using them down the road here a little bit. You feel a little bit more comfortable using them. But yeah, I mean, I think you're, especially with a guy like Elliott, I think that's going to provide huge, huge dividends, because I think you now allow Jalen Ramsey to do what Jalen Ramsey does best.
Yeah. And I think, look, Aaron Jones is out. They didn't really necessarily suffer from that last week, the Vikings run game. Because they've got a solid backup and I'm going to blank on his name, Jordan Mason. He had a good game last week, but I think Elliott's ability to come up and help stop the run is just as important as what he does in coverage in the secondary. That's why I like Peppers, because he can play up and around the box as well. And I'm as excited, if not more so, for Elliott coming back if he plays on Sunday than I am necessarily for Porter. Slay has had his issues, I think, in the first few games. Jesus Christ with this dog. I mean, what is going on out there that the dog won't shut up, Kaboom?
Why are you asking me? It's your damn dog.
The point I was trying to make.
Before you were rudely interrupted by old...
Let the dog speak some more.
Something tells me that dog is like a foo-foo name dog.
Luna, yeah.
Exactly.
Kids named her. What do you want me to do?
Say it. We're not naming him Luna.
What do I care? It's not a him. It's a she. Name her Luna. What the hell do I care? She's a little fluffy dog anyway.
Yeah, a little foo-foo
fluffy dog name for a fluffy dog. What do I care?
For a
Just
fluffy
shut up
person.
While I'm doing the show.
Who, anyway. Me or the dog?
No. We, I mean, Maybe you sometimes, but usually the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't name the dog Paterno.
Why would you name a dog Paterno?
Well, all you crazy Penn State people were like that.
I'm not a crazy Penn State fan. I'm a Penn State fan. I'm not one of those 409 lunatics. Do I need to give you this diatribe?
I'll give you this diatribe. You're going to cry your ass off this weekend.
Okay, maybe. Guess what? They could lose. They could still go to the playoff. I mean.
Yeah. All right, get to your point.
Which point? Which point do you want me to get to?
Deshaun Elliott, something about him.
No, I think Deshaun Elliott returning is as important, if not more so, than Joey Porter returning. And I think it's a huge piece for that defense, given how well he plays both sides, run and pass. So I'll leave it at that.
Plus you get Juan Thornhill out of the game.
Yeah.
Abduction. What's that?
Addition by subtraction?
What did I say? Abduction.
Abduction by
abduction by subtraction. There, baby. I'm out of it today, man.
Abduction by subtraction.
Same difference. I am really out of it. You wanted me to go to freaking Ireland.
Man, you would be a mess.
Yes, I would.
Would you fall asleep next to Tomlin if you were in Ireland?
I don't sleep, so no.
Would you doze off?
Yeah, you know, maybe a good 18 minutes. I don't know. You think Tomlin sleeps a lot?
He said he slept on the plane over there, you know, and that he always sleeps on the plane. So
I was on a plane with him once coming back from the owner's meeting, and he had to sit next to a bunch of fans on, like, Southwest.
Was that, what was that like?
It looked awkward.
Were they asking him questions the whole time?
I was obviously in the back. So hey, I just
what's
saw
going to happen? You going to win a playoff game this year or what?
No, the thing is, he snuck in and hurried up and got the window seat and was like this, pretend like he was sleeping.
That's a just big like, move. If you know, like if you've ever traveled and seen that somebody's going to be on a plane that you don't really have any desire to talk to, and I don't really feel like talking to anybody when I'm on a plane. I just want to close my eyes, maybe watch a little bit of a movie or a TV show or something if that's available and just get where I'm going. But especially if there's someone I don't want to talk to and I see them at the gate, I do my best to tuck and roll and stay away from them and then just get on the plane, hat down over the eyes, and nope, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah, because you're such a popular guy.
No. It's exactly why I'm not popular, because I don't like talking to people.
You're popular? Hey, that Mac guy. Let's go talk to him.
He got that Penn State hat on. I bet he's a lunatic for Paterno.
I'm sure his dog's name's Sandusky.
Yeah, I bet. I bet his dog runs around the neighborhood humping all the other little dogs.
Yeah, probably.
No.
All right, get back on track on this one.
I don't know if I can. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The whole team ready, willing, and able to find you the perfect home, whether you're looking for something bigger because the family's growing, looking to downsize, anything in between, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, the Dan Heck team. Ready to help you, and we appreciate them supporting the show as well. I want to go back to the argument about cheap Rooney or cheap Goodell, because I got a text from someone that works down at Heinz Field on Sundays.
I thought you don't call it Heinz Field.
No, I do call it Heinz Field. Oh, I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium because I hate that name and it's stupid. So I got a text from somebody that works at Heinz Field. I guess. Somewhat for the Steelers. I won't give away anymore.
Look at you dropping names.
No. But this person said the NFL is cheap. It's a Steelers home game, and they wouldn't send us over to work our own damn home game. We got the line that there's a new international crew that does all those games. No idea if that's true or not. So sounds like the league takes a lot out of the home team's hands for these international games. Hmm. Take that for what it's worth.
Maybe it's the league's fault. Now, whoever said cheap Rooney needs to apologize.
Yes. I don't know. We'll probably never find out the real answer on who decided when they travel, how they travel.
It almost sounds like that the Steelers thought one thing and was told another. They thought they were going to be able to go
work that out ahead of time, though.
That, well, they probably thought, you know, from years past and people they've talked to, other teams, and saying, okay, we can go anytime we want. We're going on Tuesday. Then the league comes in like the ninth, you know, the final hour and says, no, we're taking over. You're going here. But once again, as your buddy from Acrisure Stadium said, I don't know if that's true or not.
No, that's just what somebody's telling me. I don't know if it's true either, but it's what somebody's saying is that
that sounds legit, right?
The league takes a lot out of the team's hands for this thing.
I don't know if they take it out of their hands or they want to, I don't know, control.
That's great and all, but if a team wants to travel over on Monday, they should be allowed to travel when they want to travel. Whatever. If you lose this game, I think the whole travel thing just becomes an excuse that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that your offense can't run the ball. Your offense can't protect its quarterback. Your offense isn't getting the ball to all these tight ends enough. Your defense hasn't been able to stop the run outside of one game in three. That there's a number of other different issues that could cause them to lose on Sunday, Mark.
Well, it's not going to be that.
No.
Hey, they're 3-1. So, I mean,
they're 2-1, but I appreciate the optimism.
They're 2-1. So things could be much worse right now. I mean, you're staring at 4-3-1 right in the face with a bye week and two crap teams coming up. Things could be much, much worse than it is right now. You could have a quarterback that absolutely blows, and it looks like that's not going to happen this year. You have a defense that looks like it's finally coming around to playing decent ball, which didn't look like that a week ago. So there's some there's some positives here. So if you want to be negative Nancy, go ahead.
I'm not. I'm just bringing up the issues that still exist. You can have
there's issues.
Once Tomlin said the last few weeks, it's nice to win while you're working on things. And we talked about plenty of people have brought up the fact that the first few weeks, I think I heard Matt Williamson say it the other day, the first few weeks of the regular season have become completely different since the preseason was shortened and since guys decided to stop playing their starters in the preseason. The first month of the season has become almost like an extended preseason, except unfortunately the results count. So as long as you can just stack some wins early in the year while guys are getting their feet under them and learning each other, then you're going to be in a decent place. I just don't know how great I feel going into this one about one coaching staff against the other and one group of personnel against the other.
I'd be more worried about personnel than coaching.
I think they can both be issues. Like I can't imagine what Brian Flores has dreamed up for this to put this offensive line on their heels or on their backs in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the same thing about Arthur Smith, right? I mean, he had a great week one game plan and scheme. Who says that he can't do that against this defense? Who says that Terrell Austin can't just absolutely put together a plan to just drives a guy like Carson Wentz crazy? I mean, it can go both ways. So that's why, just for the fact that you look at those two guys and they got a history, they got a resume, it can translate. It can translate, but it doesn't always translate into just over to the game in my eyes.
I don't know. There's a ton of talent on both sides of the ball for Minnesota, and seeing what they're
except
able to
a quarterback do. And running back.
Well, again, was it Watson? I can't remember his name.
Mason. How many times did he get hurt last year?
Good point. For as well as Mason played, Jordan Mason last week, I'd almost, if I were the Steelers, I'd rather play what's effectively a rookie quarterback in McCarthy than I would Wentz. Really? Yeah, you wouldn't rather play McCarthy than Wentz?
Wentz is trash.
Okay. Didn't look like trash last week.
And now Jordan Addison's coming back for the first time in a month. He can't be hitting the ground running, right?
It's not like he was hurt.
He got a jump on that moving train.
I think we're looking at this game in two very different perspectives.
Okay, Jefferson's very good. Hawkinson's pretty good. I think their running backs skeptical. I think their quarterback's more than skeptical. I think they got obviously a really good defensive line. And
Jay Wobble in the middle.
Well, Jay Wobble is a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, but I said this a couple weeks ago when I was watching them on Sunday night, I think it was, or whatever primetime game they played against the Bears, I think it was early in the year. This is revisionist history, and it doesn't matter now, but like I wonder sometimes what the Steelers' defense would look like over the past few years had they kept Hargrave around. Because it's not like they didn't have the ability to do so. I know he went out and got overpaid.
There's you know the reason there. They chose Hargrave over. They chose Tuitt over Hargrave. At that point, it was the right decision. Would you rather have a Tuitt or Hargrave? Right now, obviously, you would want Hargrave. But you didn't know Tuitt was going to retire when they made this decision.
That's fair. I don't know. I'm allowed to have my revisionist history and wonder what if, I think, with Hargrave.
You were going to say, I wonder if Brian Flores was to DC right now.
That's a good question, too.
That's where you were going.
No, but that's a hell of a question, too. I mean, why was that not more seriously considered at the time?
Probably because he thought he was going to go get a head coaching job.
Yeah, but when that didn't happen,
he's not going to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he realized that.
No, but he could have been defensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But his mindset is, I want to be a head coach. I'm going to go somewhere where I can be a head coach potentially.
Well, he's not going to be the head coach of the Vikings anytime soon.
Well, when did he go to the Vikings? 2-3 years ago?
Right.
He
had just hired O'Connell.
One crap year by him and who's in the door. What I'm saying is, if you're looking at that, you're looking at the fact that not only that is he had to jump over Terrell Austin, then Mike Tomlin. So you have to look at it in his point of view too.
Yeah, and look, neither of us was a fly on the wall during the conversations between Tomlin and Flores and what it was like. It may have been decided by both of them ahead of time. It was just going to be a 1-year deal and then move on and get yourself a more permanent position somewhere. But I don't know, man. You see what he's done with this Minnesota defense, and it makes you wonder. That's all right. Again, we're allowed to have revisionist history. We're allowed to wonder about the alternate timelines in this case. And what he's done with the Minnesota defense has been incredible, and it's why I have a lot of worries going into Sunday's game. Speaking of Sunday's game.
Back to the future, right?
Exactly. What if Biff didn't have the sports almanac? It'd be a completely different movie. If you're not going to join us at the watch party out of Pittsburgh Brewing and you're not already headed over to Dublin, Ireland for the game, next best place, Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday. If you can stay up for it, like Kaboom is struggling to do right now, you get the wings. Maybe you get sandwiches, burgers. The flatbread pizzas are great, too, and daily drink specials as well. Get to Archie's on Carson for all the games.
I could go for some of that.
You had stomach issues, and now you want wings?
Well, you always have room for wings. Always time for Arch's wings.
That's true.
I'd go for some too. I'm sure. You know what? I don't want to bring this up. This kegs and eggs.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means. Is there literally eggs or no?
Yeah. You make breakfast food because it's early in the morning, but then you have beer too.
Because
it's a party. You've never done kegs and eggs before for like St. Patrick's Day?
No, I'm not doing St. Patrick's Day.
What the hell do you do for fun?
Not St. Patrick's Day.
You never did St. Patrick's Day back
that,
in the day.
That and parades. All parades are dumb.
Even a championship parade.
Every parade. I would never go to a parade.
What do you like that doesn't involve Cobra Kai or Karate Kid?
God. Oh, am I tired, man?
Jesus.
Shouldn't have woke up at 2 o'clock. Damn. I still got to finish my story too. Damn.
You better hustle there, pal. Who doesn't like eggs and eggs?
No, I don't know. I've never said, hey, let me wake up at 4 a.m. to go get kegs and eggs. I mean, I was never a keg and egger.
Every weekend thing, you do it every once in a while. This is perfect too, because it's like halfway to St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah, it's fine, you know, but I just never done it before.
Well, you can try it this Sunday. How's that
eggs
sound?
Eggs. Is there literally eggs, or is it like pancakes or something?
I don't know.
You told me you've done kegs and eggs.
If it says kegs and eggs, there's going to be eggs. Truth in advertising, okay? Why are you worried about what's on the spread?
I just tell you, I've never had kegs and eggs.
I can't believe you've never done that.
No.
You never back in the day went down to the South Side on St. Patrick's Day.
Man, I'm a Belver.
Cheap green beer. And you get that green IC light. Hits different.
I really, really, really want to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade.
So you've always been no fun then.
I grew up in Belle Vernon. You know, just a tavern didn't have kegs and eggs. Sorry.
You didn't get together with friends and go.
No, I'm not going to Southside. So you lived in Baldwin, so you're 2 minutes away when you were growing up.
True. Man, you really are no fun.
Kegs, I'm not the only one that never went to kegs and eggs.
I mean, I would think most people at least know what kegs and eggs means.
I didn't know if it literally meant eggs. Or if you had like waffles and sausage and...
There may be waffles and sausage, too. I don't know. It depends on your particular kegs and eggs arrangement.
So wild they call it kegs, eggs, sausage.
Because sausage waffles. Doesn't rhyme with the word kegs.
Nobody says kegs anyways.
Jesus. Look, if you're anything like me and you've got a teenage daughter who may be going to a homecoming dance or something like that, the best place for them to get ready for it, Nail Studio 2 out in the South Hills. They want to get their nails done, and they've got new promotions for the rest of this month. And through October, 15% off all services for students for homecoming. Also, moms can bring their daughters in. They'll get 15% off as well. New clients, 15% off for a limited time as well. Check out the photos. The place has been completely refreshed and renovated at nailstudio2.com. That's also where you can book online. 24/7 Nail Studio Roman numeral 2, so nailstudioii.com, or give them a call 724-941-4595 out there in the South Hills at Lakeview Square in the McMurray Peters Township area, right next to Juniper Grill. Get your nails done, or get somebody else's nails done if that's your speed, at Nail Studio 2. That's the place to go. All right, you ready to make picks for this week? Including a pick on the Steelers game?
I guess.
Are you otherwise busy?
I'm distracted.
Yeah, I know. You're looking down at your phone. What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing important. You just thought you'd scroll Twitter while we were
It's like, you know, I don't understand why my 12-year-old niece decides to text me in the middle of school day.
What's she texting you from school for?
Going to Ireland?
No. Did you tell her no, you're too old for that shit?
I was going to do the thumbs down emoji, but I can't find it. That was the whole point.
You know you can literally type thumbs down and
it doesn't want to work. It only gives me the thumbs up.
All right. We both picked Seattle last night.
There is no thumbs down.
I'm sure there is. You just can't find it. What else is new? You can't find it.
I just did thumbs down.
Good job. Jesus. All right. You ready to make picks for the rest of the weekend, including the Steelers game?
Oh, what a rush. Let's go.
Chargers, Giants. Who you got? You hate the Chargers. You think they suck. You think Justin Herbert is a fraud.
Chargers and the Giants, but we're talking about the Giants. Jackson Dart, I heard someplace that Jack Cam said he was good, so I'm taking the Chargers.
What does that even mean? I'm going to take the Chargers too. And I do think Jackson Dart is going to be good. No, I just think this is a terrible time to throw him to the Wolves. I would have let him sit and watch Russ and Jameis make a mess of themselves for most of the rest of the year before I threw him in there. He's going to get absolutely hammered every time he makes a mistake. It's New York. But we both take the Chargers. All right. Titans and Texans. Oof. Somebody has to win. Neither one of them has yet.
Well, Titans are just a really bad team. And the Titans are a really bad team that can't protect their quarterback. Texans are due, so we'll give me the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, I got Texans too. By the way, this game's in Houston. When these two teams play in Tennessee and the Titans insist on wearing the Oilers throwbacks, I think it's blasphemy. I just want to say that. It's garbage. The Oilers colors and logo belong in Houston, and the Titans should not be allowed to wear it. I wanted to get that off my chest.
Nobody cares.
I do, as the son of a former Houston Oilers fan. Commanders, Falcons. I don't know about Jaden Daniels in this one, but it didn't matter last week. What do you think? Washington, Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, I think Washington should have lost last week. I think the Falcons should have won because I think they're a better team. So give me the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm actually going to go with the Falcons too.
I think you're just doing this so you can stay status quo with me.
No. I've written down all my picks already. I just let you go first because you got pissy last week when I went first. Yeah. So I'm letting you state your pick first. Mine are all written down already. I'm not going to erase. I'm not going to change anything. My picks are my picks. I don't think there's any way that if Michael Penix is back in there, he can play as poorly as he did last week. So I'll take Atlanta over Washington. Plus, Terry McLaurin's probably out too. New Orleans, Buffalo, good Lord, the Bills might win this one by 7 touchdowns.
Saying that, New Orleans would probably win, might win this game. But nah, you can't pick against Buffalo, but might be closer than you think.
Okay. This is going to be a good one. Eagles, Bucks in Tampa.
Eagles getting lucky, huh?
What? No Mike Evans, Chris Godwin's first game back. Baker's a little dinged.
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to pick the Eagles, but I won't. Buccaneers.
I got the Bucks too.
I knew what you were doing.
All right, Cleveland, Detroit. We're going to have all the same picks. This is stupid. Cleveland, Detroit. Go ahead, take the Browns. I dare you.
Probably should.
It's only week 4. You don't need to play catch up yet.
Detroit. How can you pick against that?
Yeah, I'm on the Lions too. New England, Carolina. Oof.
Carolina look good. They'll probably have you fooled. Is there a decent team? They are not a decent team. The Patriots will probably have you fooled that they were a decent team. They're not a good team. So it's literally a coin flip in my eyes on this one. Where's this game at?
Charlotte.
I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to go Carolina.
Wow. I'm going Patriots. I think they're the less shitty team. Jacksonville, San Francisco, at West. You hate both of these teams, don't you?
They're not my favorite.
Make a pick.
San Francisco.
You going with San Francisco? I am too, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you're cheating.
I'm not cheating. I've shown you. All my picks are already written down.
I can see that.
Freeze frame it if you want after we're done and you can examine it.
Look at this. Look at all my picks.
Yeah, go ahead. Show your hanky on the screen like everybody wants to see your snot rag.
It's my glass thingy.
I think Purdy coming back, which I believe is supposed to happen this weekend, is big for them.
Yeah.
All right, Colts Rams. You're a big Danny Dimes fan this year. You think they're a playoff team. They've gotten off to a hot start.
But why do you keep trying to manipulate my picks?
What? I'm stating facts. I'm stating facts.
I'm going with the Rams because you're trying to get me to pick the Colts. You're manipulating me.
I got the Rams too. I think the Colts snap back just a little bit to reality this weekend out west. All right.
New reality.
Sounds just like the real thing. Ravens, Chiefs. Somebody has to win this one because the loser is going to be 1-3.
Ravens at Chiefs, huh?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Ravens at Chiefs.
I'm not steering you any direction here because I want you to make your legitimate pick on this one.
The thing is, I can make arguments for both sides here, but either way, the NFL wins with this one. This one of those teams are going to go either 1-3 or 0-4, so everybody's a winner.
No, they can't be 0-4 because they both have a win. They're both 1-2.
I thought you said they're 0-3.
No. They're both 1-2. Somebody's going to be 1-3 after this game.
I don't even know who the hell the Chiefs even beat. I must have missed something because I didn't even know the Chiefs won. They did. I'm going with the Ravens.
Damn it. All right. I got the Ravens as well. We got all the same picks other than the Carolina-New England game. All right, here we go. We may differ on this one. Bears in Vegas against the Raiders.
Bears in Vegas and Raiders.
Yep. Come on.
How can you pick Vegas? They stink.
You think they're going to the playoffs?
I thought they were.
You tell me.
I changed my pick. No, I'm going Vegas. Screw it all.
Jesus, I had Vegas too. Sucks. All right. The Micah Parsons revenge game. Green Bay at Dallas on Sunday night. This isn't a hard pick.
No, I think we can throw down Green Bay for this one.
Okay. Good call.
You talking about giving up 50 points.
What will go down is probably one of the worst scheduled Monday night games of all time. No one will be watching this. Jets, Dolphins. It's a Monday night doubleheader, but two Monday night games at the same time this week.
Remember Jumbo Elliott with the touchdown?
Yes. Remember Joe Klecko?
Joe Klecko, Mark Gastineau.
Mark Gastineau.
I'll take the Dolphins.
Come on, man. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you.
You're cheating.
I'm changing that pick just out of principle to the Jets. I had the Dolphins written down. I am changing it just out of principle alone. Because I don't want us to have nearly all the same picks. All right, Bengals in Denver against the Broncos. Who you got?
They're Denver.
You got Denver.
Bengals.
Bengals.
Oh, you're crazy. Denver Broncos. Bengals are just an awful team anymore. They have no quarterback. They have no defense. They got no offensive line. Other than that, they're great.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
Why?
Because the Broncos, they're just Yonkos. All right.
Two people know what that means.
I don't care. I know what it means. That's what the two people are right here, you and me. That's all that matters, okay? Last pick of the week, Sunday morning. Come join us live at Pittsburgh Brewing for the watch party. Vikings, Steelers, what do you got? Give me a score, too.
I can't remember if I picked one already. See, sometimes I forget who I picked, and it's like I got six different picks.
How do you do that? Don't
I gotta make picks like
the game?
I gotta make picks on Monday, gotta make picks on Wednesday, gotta make picks here, gotta make picks on Friday. Then I tend to forget of who I pick.
Just make a pick
Steelers
now.
Steelers and Vikings. Wow, I can't not think of who to pick here.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
I got Vikings 24-16. I think the Steelers' offense is really going to struggle against Flores' defense. I think their defense, the Steelers' defense, will play well enough, but I think the Vikings will probably hit them for a couple big plays. So, I'm going to say Vikings 24-16. I think we're going to be kind of upset Sunday afternoon when we sit down to talk about this one.
Once again, another hater.
Yep. Negative Nancy, as they say.
Negative Nancy.
Come on.
I'll go with the Steelers 24-21.
Ooh, That'd be a big win.
No idea why.
That's reassuring.
No idea why.
No idea why, he says. Yeah. That's nice.
I got a feeling.
Think they're going to score 24, huh? I hope I'm wrong and you're right.
You're acting like it's the 85 Patriots they're playing.
It's a very good defense, Mark.
I wouldn't say very good.
Yeah, I would.
Good.
So we're in disagreement there. There we go. We got a couple games that we ended up disagreeing on. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. We appreciate them. They've been on board from the very beginning. Get your furnace checked out before it gets cold enough to run it later this fall and winter. They'll come out and do a furnace check for you. Go on Facebook and message them at Impact HVAC PGH. Or just give them a call, 412-297-1852, Impact HVAC. We really appreciate their support of the show as well. All right, I told you I was going to play this for you. I know you're going to roll your eyes. I know how you feel about it already, but I want to play it anyway from yesterday's edition of the Pat McAfee Show, Jeff Passan of ESPN.
He's going to win the National League Cy Young Award unanimously this year, and deservedly so. In his first full season as a Major League Baseball player. And for all of the hype, that's what I love about Paul Skeens. He came up with so much hype, and he has not just lived up to it. He's exceeded it. Mm-hmm. He has been better, I think, than people thought that he was going to be. And you surround him with the arms that the Pittsburgh Pirates have right now, whether it's Bubba Chandler, yep, or Braxton Ashcraft, or Jared Jones coming back, yep, Mitch Keller, Hunter Barco making his big league debut. The Pittsburgh Pirates are three bats away from being a playoff team right now. And the only way that they are going to go out and get those bats is if their owner goes out and spends some freaking money. And if not now, then when, Pat? At what point do you see all of this talent that you have and say to yourself, we need to take this opportunity and give the fans of Pittsburgh what they deserve? The losing, we've had enough of it. And you've seen opportunities that have been taken by the Kansas City Royals and by other smaller market, low revenue teams to go and change their lineup in an offseason. The Pirates can do this.
Yeah.
The question for Bob Nutting is, will you?
And Mark Cabali's answer, he knows the answer to that question already, is...
I don't even want to talk about it.
You're so cold and dead inside.
First of all, you know, God bless Jeff Passan, but he just named off six pitchers that has done absolutely nothing in their career. Number one, right? Who's done anything?
Skeens. Other than that, the best pitcher in baseball.
Okay, right now. Okay, Jared Jones. How's he doing?
Jared Jones probably won't be back till late April, early May.
How's Bubba Chandler doing?
Bubba Chandler and Hunter Barco, two young guys.
And to get this one of these three bats, who are you going to have to trade? Mitch Keller.
No, his point is you don't need to trade anybody. You just go out and sign some people. You spend some money. You going to tell me they don't have it?
I don't care if they have it. I mean, it's a matter of doing it. And number two is...
That's the point that Jeff's making.
Where are you getting three bats at?
Free agency.
Just like that. Hey, we got a 10-10 pitcher here. It's our only player. Our owner's cheap. Not only is our owner cheap, but he tends to screw his players over at all times. Come on over. You guys fall for it every year at this time. Every year.
No, I'm not falling
every
for anything.
Every year you're falling.
Hold on. I'm not falling for anything. I'm not of the belief that they're actually going to go out and do that. And I understand the point, and it's a very good one. They can't just write a blank check and hand it to people and say, hey, you're a Pirate now. Like, the players have to agree to want to come to Pittsburgh, and how many players want to come to Pittsburgh right now? I get that. That's a very valid point. But when you see a guy who's not from Pittsburgh, who isn't a Pirates fan, who's just a neutral observer, go off and talk about how this team could make a few big moves in one offseason if they had the balls to do it and be competitive and be a wild card team. I know you're cold and dead inside to the Pirates, and a lot of us are most summers, right? Totally get it. I totally understand that and why you're cold and dead inside to the Pirates. But this is one of those things that gets me angry again, and I know you're past the point of being angry anymore, I still get angry every once in a while that somebody recognizes from a neutral perspective that if they would just go out and get a few players to support the pitching that they've built up, the young pitching that they have, they could actually be something, knowing full well that they won't.
What are we talking about, though, man? A couple bats, they're what? Oh, only 100, 120 million, maybe? Is that it? Yeah, here. Here's $120 million. It's so unrealistic of a thought.
Well, wait. The unrealistic part is not that they don't have the money to do it. The unrealistic part may be that they don't want to spend the money. But the unrealistic part is not that they don't have the money.
The unrealistic part is they're close of winning. That's another unrealistic part.
When you have a pitching staff that's headlined by the best pitcher in baseball.
But that's all you got.
And you've got other arms around him.
Who? Like I said, who's done anything? Nobody. Nobody has a resume. Nobody.
You let.
Underachieving O'Neill Cruz.
You let. Your disdain for the owner, which I understand.
I don't care about the owner.
You do.
I care about people thinking that, whoa, all they need is three bats and they'll be good. No, you're not going to be good. It takes more than three bats. It takes years and years of being able to build an organization, draft, and all that stuff. It's not going to be writing a check in one off season. Not only is it unrealistic, it's unrealistic in the fact that even if you do it, you're not going to find the players that are going to make a difference, in my opinion.
See, I think you let your disdain for ownership trickle all the way down through the rest of the organization to the players on the field, to the point that you're like, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
They could get whoever they want. It wouldn't matter.
Doesn't. I mean, how many times do we hear Gregory Polanco?
But this is
O'Neill Cruz.
But this is part of the philosophy, and I'm not saying you personally, but this overarching philosophy of, well, they're just always going to suck because they're not going to spend any money. This overarching philosophy of, well, it doesn't matter anyway, but it can matter, and that's the point Passan is trying to make.
I don't think I've ever said. Not spending any money. They can spend as much money as they want. It's not going to make a difference. That's my point. It's just not going to make a difference. And it irritates me the more than anything. It's not the disdain of the owner. It's the disdain of every single year, one little thing happens and everybody has this great theory or thought that they're, I thought, you know what? They have a chance to win this year. No, you don't. You just don't have a chance to win. And every year you buy into it, then you're disappointed. Then you buy into it the next year, then you're disappointed. Then you buy into it and you're disappointed. And you wonder why I don't give a rat's ass anymore, because I'm tired of investing any type of effort into a team that has no chance of winning.
And I'm tired of being told that even if they go out and spend some money, they can't win. If you go out and spend some money and get some better players, yeah, you can win. You can, because you got the best pitcher in baseball out there every 5 days.
Well, you got the best pitcher in baseball for the next 2 years.
What does that have to do with next year? Well, the point is you still have them. You should build around them.
I just don't know. One person would say, you know, are they going to get Freddie Freeman? I mean, hypothetically speaking,
I don't even know the list Freddie of Freeman MLB type of person.
I'm not even talking about. I'm just saying hypothetically that type of a player. No, you're not getting that crap. You're not.
Okay.
And another flaw. I told you the flawed argument of all is that this pitching staff is good. No, they got. I guess they got talent. I guess they have. Opportunity to be good, but they're not good. They haven't done anything. Nobody's done anything.
So we won't care when they don't do anything this offseason.
I'm not going to care, because it's not going to happen. Number one is, and number two, if it does happen, you're going to get Tommy Pham. Which, back to your point, whoa, they need to spend. No, what you're getting for the the money that you're spending is Tommy Pham. That's what you're getting. That's the only type of people that want to come here.
Tommy Pham would have got his eyes fixed earlier in the year. He might have actually been effective most of the season rather than just
Think the whole argument is just based off of schemes.
Yeah. A lot of it is based off you have the best pitcher in baseball. Why wouldn't you put a team around him?
Because that means you win once every 5 days.
Okay. Because them other pitchers ain't on crap. I got you.
It's just not good.
Okay.
It's every year. And I mean, let's, you know, mark this down and see who's right coming in a couple months. Me.
Well, they're not going to go out and get any free agents. Well, so the argument we're having is moot or mute, as Bill Cowher used to say.
Rowdy Tellez, let's bring him in a little bit, maybe. Even the guys they have are no good. I mean, Reynolds, remember when Key Brian Hayes was supposed to be good? I mean, okay. Reynolds is a failure. Cruz is a failure. How many catchers do they have? Failure, failure, failure.
This is more indicative, I think, of – I think a lot more people feel this way, feel the way you do about the team than I do. Like, I think a lot more people no longer have the mental or emotional energy or bandwidth to get upset about them anymore. Whereas I see Passan make the points that he does, and I go, yeah, God damn it. They could do something to try and get better, but I know they won't. So I do get mad, whereas maybe it's better that you're cold and dead inside regarding the Pirates because it doesn't even allow you to get angry about it anymore.
It doesn't register anymore because, you know, I was around when they were actually decent.
I remember when. Thanks to our friends at the Third Do First In podcast for supporting us here at Cabali and Mac. Firefighter First Responder podcast with great stories from all their guests, insights on that life. If you're in it, if you're not, like I said, you get a peek into that world from the outside. Keith and Gino and all their guests from all walks of the firefighter and first responder life. They are supporting us, so we are supporting them. We appreciate the Third Do First In guys for being a part of Cabali and Mac as well. One more thing, and then I told you we could do a 2-hour show today if we wanted to. One more thing. Another thing I know you're jaded about, but I mentioned it earlier. People were literally lined up around the Penguins practice facility this morning to see Marc-Andre Fleury practice. I love it. You don't like it. You're mad.
Maybe they were trying. Maybe they were giving away kegs and eggs.
Why can't you just enjoy things sometimes?
It's not enjoying. It's just weird.
Why is it weird? Because he's playing in a preseason game tomorrow night? Like, that part's a little out there.
Playing in a preseason game, being sold out. Maybe the only game that's sold out this year, right? But I can understand wanting to go to the game or whatever, but this here.
Lining up around the building for a practice? People that maybe wanted to go to tomorrow night's game but couldn't get tickets because it sold out so quickly upon the announcement of Fleury coming back to the game. This might be their last chance to see Marc-Andre Fleury in a Penguins uniform, even if it's a training camp practice.
They want autographs so they can go sell it. All they had to do was go to First and Goal, and they could have got the one themselves. But they're too cheap.
So effing jaded. It's amazing.
I just hope, you know, I hope everybody brings a hanky. When is that game?
Tomorrow night.
I hope they bring a hanky, man. You know, Blue Jackets. You don't want to cry a little bit there because, you know, when they pull out the same dumbass tribute video, you think they'll switch it up a little bit?
Probably. I think the Penguins in-game entertainment staff is good enough to do that. Unlike the Steelers in-game entertainment staff, who will be stuck sitting at home this weekend.
There's literally nobody at the Steelers yesterday in-game entertainment, or not in-game entertainment, at least media, PR media people. Steelers media people. Steelers media people.
Gotcha.
They're all gone.
Actually, I lied. One more thing, because you covered –
Christ.
Just relax. We haven't talked for like 3 days because you had to sleep for the last 2 days.
Well, you tell Mike Tomlin moving up practice to 9 a.m.
One more thing, because you covered high school football for years, and this was wild. I had somebody text it to me, and then it hit the internet, and everybody from Barstool to all over the world was sharing this from last Friday.
Jerome, no! Oh!
You're right. That is my alma mater. That's a kid from Baldwin's football team last Friday ripping the helmet off a kid from Elizabeth Forward and then smacking him on the back of the head. An embarrassment.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've never seen anything like that.
I haven't
covered
either.
High school in 20 years, whatever, 15 years, and I've never seen something like that happen.
I haven't
personally, yeah.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, I have a friend whose son was on the Baldwin High School football team until a few weeks ago. He was a starting lineman and had transferred in from another school. But they, from a private school.
What are you going to do? You're going to Baldwin for football.
No, he wanted to go to Baldwin because his friends went there and he wanted to play with his friends.
Sounds good enough.
The point I wanted to get to is that he and a bunch of his teammates decided, I guess, just a couple weeks into the season, that they couldn't play for this coach. That this coach is apparently this coaching staff.
I'm well aware of coaching staff.
This coaching staff has the players call them dog rather than coach. Like they got, they're trying to do their best Dion. I don't know. But apparently Baldwin football, which already did not have an illustrious history.
I saw him week one. Yeah. I was at that game.
It has fallen on even more hard times. Like they're down to like, I don't know, 15 or 20 kids on the sidelines. This is a 5A program because of the size of the school. That apparently is talking about pulling out of the Whippiole and playing an open schedule next year because they just can't compete at that level. And it's bad, man. It's bad.
If I'm under the right impression here, their head coach was one of the better running backs in all time of one of the Clareton Bears. If I am correct on this.
Was it Clareton or McKeesport?
I thought it was Clareton.
But he played at Kent State, right? Do I have that part right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Clareton. But whatever.
You would know like, more than I do.
It's not like Baldwin hasn't sucked for 20 years.
I mean, I was there 30 years ago, and we were kind of bad then.
Speaking of that.
Through parade when we went to the playoffs.
Speaking of that, big game tonight, Thomas Jefferson, Val Vernon.
It's a big one. It's a rivalry at the beach.
My kid goes, are we going? I said, no.
At that urine-colored field.
Well, you have no room to talk there, old Muhammad Ali alma mater.
What?
You have people punching people in your alma mater. If the worst thing happened to Bel Vernon, you got freaking yellow turf. It's not a bad day.
I guess.
And another thing is once you, what we didn't have to deal with when we were kids was people who can go viral.
Yeah, that happened real quick. Like I said, from the text I got Friday night, about an hour later, it was all over social media and the internet. So it blew up real quick.
Yeah, that's you know, you have good things about, you know, our times that we live in now, these kids, but then you got the bad times. Everything's
sometimes it feels like there's a lot more bad than good.
Everything's on public display, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's just
even
the
when
way
somebody's
it
just
is.
Sitting there next to a head coach trying to take a video.
That's fake there.
I didn't say you were sleeping.
No,
I snuck up for you there. I still
don't think Tom even knew about that. I asked him the next day, and he had no clue what I was talking about.
He strikes me as having no interest in social media whatsoever. Thanks to everybody for watching an extra long edition of the show, because we hadn't done it in a couple of days. Sunday post game will be live on location at Pittsburgh Brewing for their watch party that gets started bright and early with kegs and eggs, which is actual eggs, Mark, and plenty of Iron City and IC Light to go around. Matt Light will be there. Chris Higby playing during halftime. And like I said, we'll do the post game pod live from Pittsburgh Brewing on Sunday. Stop out and see us. As always, what'd you want to add in there?
I'm just getting another text.
From who?
Andrew Filippone.
Oh, what else is new?
I'm a texting freak here.
Yeah.
You see, I actually look at him when it's other people.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep.
Stuff to do. I got work to do, brother.
Sure you do. And we'll talk again.
I do. I got to do my TJ Watt story.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you out at Pittsburgh Brewing for the watch party and the post game show. Thanks for supporting us. Make sure you support our sponsors. We appreciate every single one of them. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Kabali and Mac. Thanks again. Have a great weekend.